covenant, we are so precise. And you can't do anything about it anyway, sir.
What parameters do you need with regard to the last four?
That's a good question. Excellent question. Now, this is where Purdy comes in again. I'll tell you what. Bob, for years, for 4 years in a row, have with his D-Base 2 program kept the variant, the energy, if you will, by class, sex, age, distance, every precise number you could come up with on Southern California track. We, to spare you that problem, because I saw the anger that he went through, and I said, hey, if we're going to force everybody to do this, we're in trouble. So we've got to find a shortcut to this procedure. Now, initially we told you to take, as did Quirin, he took $10,000, and find the most common claiming level of your track, and take and just find your stats from that, and adjust everybody accordingly. But even better, we found, is take high, low, and average. And all that is you start with day one. The journey of this 1,000 miles begins with a single step. You're going to keep a track profile. You merely take every race that it takes. We've done it in front of a seminar with a complete day, and we'll have somebody do it tomorrow if you want to see how fast it can happen. A complete day's results, and you put them down on your profile. If you're using phase three, use pace of the race. If you use an open scan, it doesn't matter. Use wind energy, because it combines two different factors. And Michael will tell you why wind energy works with open scan every bit as good, because open scan compensates for it. But whichever one you're using, you merely put them down. You get 3 6-4-long races, whatever it is, for that one day. Now, for that, each distance separately. Now, you maybe only have 3 6-4-long races. One of them was running 57 total energy. One is running 52.80, and one was 53. And your average is 53. Not the average of these two, but the average of all you did. You're going to find next week, or next month, or whenever these horses run together, you're going to look for the high energy. It may be a $20,000 claiming race, it may be 12.5, but the energy level determines the class. You're looking for a horse who, the standout in the race, whether it's sweeps, top choice, or the consensus choice, the horse that has to be beaten, in other words, or one deduced from your own figures. Into what category of energy does he fall? That determines the class of the race. So that is where you would make your energy, from high, low, or average. Now, Bob will tell you that he did it specifically. What was the difference between your detailed figures and using this?
It was almost incomprehensible. The difference was so minor between, and I ran the computer all night analyzing 21,300 races. I just turned it on at night when I went to bed and got up in the morning, and the analysis was done. And it came up to about 0.04 difference of what an hour came up with off of 1 week. So, I mean, you don't have to go crazy with the detail.
There are those of you who want to. There are those of you who say, yeah, but, I want to get it by sex, by fillies, by mares, by four, by three, by... And that's fine if you want to go to that work. But if you want to spare yourself that work, this will do it. If your top energy horse in the race, the one that they've got to beat, is closer to 57 than he is to 53, then it's a high-class race. And everybody is judged accordingly. And your variant is made from your high.
This is different from what was in the yellow manual. You had said there.
In the yellow manual, in the yellow manual, none of this is gone into. You see, initially. In the yellow manual, he says, don't worry about it, because the base figures are so forgiving that if you take every horse off of a fast baseline, you get 63% without worrying about this. Now, the phase 3 manual did make you make distance adjustments.
Well, I guess I mean factor out.
Factor not.
Keep them separate. What you say now, you don't have to do that.
All right, the factor analysis was written with Purdy report in mind, and that's the information we had at the time. When we found out that this got us within 0.08 of all that work, this is what we said to do it. Right. We grow too. We advance and we, you know, anything carved in stone is worthless in horse racing.
So what size sample are you working with right here?
You're working with a
5 days.
Whatever you've got. Jim will tell you, we go to Las Vegas and we don't have anything but the preceding day's results chart. And we start there. And it builds as we go through the day. But generally speaking, you'll see the energy. If you're going to make a variant at all with phase three, you make it. But we're also going to show you where you don't want to be making all these variants all the time. It isn't that enough. Inner dirt to outer earth, certainly isn't necessary. Just the same as two different tracks. Sir?
All right, well, I'm not too sure where I am. Because I've been using the track adjustment they gave in the table. Okay. It looks like it's determined.
Well, it's determined precisely by this process.
So now what we're saying is that despite the fact that we have a table and we're keeping a chart, I think this is a better way to go with this one.
Alright, with those tables, they may still be applicable to some of your eastern tracks where you don't change the surfaces every year. Our western tracks, we have changed so much that they're not applicable. Where they are, ballpark figures are still working, you know, use the aspirin, don't go to penicillin. But where they've been deviants and changes and tracks have been dug up and replanted, what have you, yes, you've got to make your own. And it's better to double check your own against the figures. So anyway, remember, those figures, like anybody else's, are obsolete. They were obsolete before I gave you. They are merely demonstrating what a ballpark figure is, and now you can make on your own for absolute accuracy.
You just said that you
use
the high energy horses to make your variants?
No. You're going to, no. If, I'm telling you what the race, you're saying make class, what class are you talking about? Okay.
Right.
High is high class. I don't care whether it's 10,000 claiming or a stakes race. If it's high energy, it's a high class.
Why, if you're using that to make a variant, why bother? Why worry about sweeps for a selection? Why not just be the high class races at your track?
Oh, we're not. We're using the total energy, the average, to make the variant, really.
Right.
Just the average will make you
variant.
But the question that I answered was not about variance, it was about getting your contention according to class. What do you do about if one's a higher class race than the other? Getting your contention. You'll find that average will make you a sufficient variant, as opposed to having it. Now, if you want to get really nitty-gritty, make one for each of the levels. And after about 6 weeks, when you find that the relationship is similar, you'll quit doing it. But if it piques your curiosity, do it that way. Sir?
There's a real difference, though, I think, between lengths of races. And I don't know what your comment on this is, but I found that 6 and 6.5 furlongs are essentially the same. The 7 furlongs is totally different.
Right. That's what we say to every system.
A mile is totally different. Then, but a mile and 6 inches, a mile and 8 is essentially the
same. Right.
So I think you shouldn't just do them together.
You do whatever is real. If you find out your track, now you don't have a mile and 16th of aqueduct.
Yeah, well,
the inner dirt. Yeah, but I mean, you don't have one to compare it to. But you do whatever reality tells you to do. We have a similar situation out west where a mile and 16, mile and 8. We also have some tracks where a mile and 8 is so far different from mile and 16th, you better know the difference. We also have tracks in our area, which you have here, 1 turn mile and 2 turn mile tracks. And if you don't adjust those miles, if you lump those together, you're in trouble. You know, I think you already know what the reality is. What you're saying is everybody else better check reality.
6.5 and 7 is totally
different. Oh, certainly.
Howard, you gave them in the back of the manual, one of your forms.
Yeah.
Just fill that out for every distance. They'll find it.
Yeah. See, you're going to find in the back of you said there's a track profile blank. You're going to find the reality. You're going to find maybe that you don't have to worry about them. The mile length and the mile 16th are so close to no adjustment. You're also going to find out maybe if you're playing a different track that there is one. We have a situation of 6 and 6.5 are similar, but 7 is widely divergent. There's a lot of reasons for that. The chute they come out of, the longer straightaway, changes the energy pattern, all sorts of things. Whatever the reality is, you have to determine it. Nobody's sitting, and you should never let somebody sitting 100 to 5,000 miles away from you tell you what it is, what you can do it so easily with that energy.
It's so easy, it's so simple to make that you can do it in 30 seconds.
You got it. You're absolutely right. Sir?
I was interested in your manual, you're saying how the energy figures at 6.5 are greater than 6 Coulomb. I found that. And I guess it's because of the extra acceleration.
Yeah, the shoot, the longer straightaway. In our area, 7 furlong races are carted for much higher class animals, incidentally, and that has a lot to do with it.
I have a problem with the different levels of competition here, though. If you have a horse who's going up in time, but if it's going into one of your highest specified energy levels there, you're adjusting the mind off the lot.
All right, yes. Well, that's there. That's another ballgame. The horse going up in class, generally speaking, now it all depends on his energy level. If he earns an energy level that exceeds his class, then you don't have to penalize him. But generally speaking, we have found that a 0.15 per class level, which is very good. I don't want to put that as a rule. Let's go through that in the seminars tomorrow, and they're going to go through that. But if you find, after adjusting the energy, must be you don't want to take raw energy from a $12,000 horse who ran on a 08 variant and say he's ready now to step up two levels against horses that earned theirs on a 24 dated variant. You have to equalize that if you're going to win class risers. But pretty soon all this comes almost into you see it without going through a lot of adjustment. But that's going to be a detailed thing tomorrow. Sir?
All right, just, you know, it's the second call, like the feet per second determined by the second call, plus the feet per second determined on the third fraction. And then together divided by two, and then you have the average. This gives you the energy.
That's your variant energy on your phase two program. We also have an advanced form, which we put out in this book, in which we incorporate true speed, but the two programs, as long as you use one or the other, will give you the same ultimate results. In fact, there's a whole section of this manual where we use one and then another we use the other. On phase three, the variant spine.
Run that by me again, but what did you think was the calculation for the variant phase three?
The one that, the second call fraction.
Second call.
Plus the third fraction.
Right.
Divided by two.
Okay, but the current way,
that's what he's got, though.
Okay.
As long as you do the same thing consistently, you're fine. I mean, you'll see when you read the manual, there's a whole thing on something called par-gen. It's a minor change. You don't need to worry about it if you're using phase three. If you were to use ultra, having the true speed in there is important. If you were to use ultra, having that new formula par gen with the true speed in there is important. But so you don't need to worry about it.
If you're using the IBM version, that's the program that I wrote.
Please wait. Well, I want to talk to you.
I didn't write that. There's a different calculation. The one we use in California, or the one that I use in California, and I think all of our new programs, the variant engine in phase three is a little different from the earlier manual. Not to make any differences.
Well, the manual will be a correlation with the list of the program that I looked at.
Of course not. No. The manual was written 4 years before the variant. And I never read Howard's manual then. The calculation that you have, just to explain, I'll go through the reasons, is early pace plus sustained pace divided by two, not early pace plus the third fraction divided by two.
Oh, we're not fractions, we're talking about the pace.
No, well,
just the formula slightly.
Early pace and second call.
Okay. Using a factor W formula instead of.
Right.
As long as you use the same formula, it doesn't matter. The concept works. What all they've done is for. We have gone into a, if you want to really get into this data during thing and keeping one and making par times and everything, we have, Tom Brohammer's doing this for West Coast people. What value it has is not in what it does to help you pick horses, it's what it does in getting you confidence in betting horses.
Very good.
if you want to, the real reason. Jimmy and I, we don't know what the heck's going on.
One of the biggest difficulties I have is because, you know, if you start out making bearings, making smart lines, doing all that crap, you know, like projections and everything else. As a matter of fact, I still subscribe to a service for using bearings. I've always been happy with them. But, you know, like at this point, how do you train, you know, like this one, you know, like how do you translate that into something that I can deal with here?
That's final time bearings.
It's impossible to use those bearings in coordinating with our figures. Just what?
Just one.
Excuse me. What bearing service do you use?
Woodside.
Okay. I used to get those as well before I got Howard's nut. Okay, years ago. And Tom Brohammer, who does the bearings on the West Coast, and he has a service that our clients use if they're using Phase 3. They use his bearings and he mails them out every week. He tested every well-known bearing service to see if we could make it apply to our method as far as using it. It was unsuccessful in every case. It just does not apply because it's based on final time, not basic.
So it can't be distributed.
The reason that incremental velocity changes the whole ballgame, you're not looking at a variant necessary to adjust final times. The only kind of variant adjustment that's really necessary on pace handicapping is a distance switch adjustment, and I mean a sprint to a route. Otherwise, it's just whatever you want to do. It's icing on a cake, but you don't really need it because for years, nobody ever bothered with a variant.
Sir,
what if you use a variant for each fraction?
It does. Our program does it on each fraction. But you certainly don't want to make a variant on the first fraction. I'll tell you why. Does anybody have that question? Why you don't make a first fraction? You lump the first fraction and the second fraction of the second call together. The bottom line reason is that this works and the other doesn't. But why the other doesn't is this. Horses determine the first fraction. Stevie Coffin told me that years ago. He said, Howard, said in a southern accent, then I said it in English accent. Really changed the way of speaking after a few years, doesn't it? The first fraction belongs to the horse. English jockeys know that. Stevie got over there in England and said, hey, I can whip these guys. I'll get out of the gate fast like we did when I was in the United States. And all the English jockeys said, all right, after you, old chap. And he gets out there about the 16th of a mile, and the horse stumbled. He went practically over the horse's head and could have killed himself. They have a little dip in English tracks, 16th of a mile. Any good trainer will tell you, anybody who understands horses, Jimmy Bradshaw as a coach of running stars, the first segment belongs to the horse. They don't try to do much for that horse until most of the first quarter of a mile has been run. So you will find far less discrepancy caused by the track in the first fraction than you will in any other fraction.
That's paramount because you're also going to see a 22-23
second. That's right. And it's accurate. So you forget that. If you turn it, what you're doing is saying, boy, wouldn't it be fun to, you know, math, we'd love to. If I were a theorist, could get away with being a theorist, I'd say, let's put all these things on numbers. We tried it. It does not work. This worked. That's all. Total energy then becomes any total energy figures. Bob said some people use factor W, some use sustained pace, which is all the second call and third fraction together add up to. Some use it with, in ultrascan, we use it with true speed thrown in to ameliorate the problem of an inordinately fast third fraction, final fraction, upsetting the balance of sustained pace. It's just modifiers that make it more predictable. But total energy, if you'll stop to think about it, the total energy that a horse runs at by distance is far more predictive of making a variant than taking a tick here or a tick there off the final time. Sir?
And particularly at a mile and an eighth, an aqueduct horse that runs 10 ticks below speed rating, but you think first, that's the total energy in that range.
Yep.
For any of you, I would definitely suggest that you
you learn to make the variance. Like Howard stated, we don't worry about it, don't use it. But if you know how to make this variance, you can tell at a glance the energy requirement of this particular race, and you can tell the energy requirement of the track that the horse is coming from or that the horse is running at today. Answer the question back there, well, go from, say, Belmont to Saratoga. You'd be able to recognize this by being able to make these variants. Learn all of the methods. Don't use Woodbine, don't use anyone else's. Use the method as it is and learn it as it is, and soon you'll be able to understand, and you can see, even at a glance, whether a race needs to be adjusted or not. Whether a daily variant affected the running style of the horse, you'll be able to see this.
Are you going to walk us through making a variant like this tomorrow?
Sure. There's so much overemphasis on variance sometimes, you know, and one of the thrusts of the manual and that you have in front of you is that very often variants aren't so necessary. Very often just what you've got is enough, and you can really drive yourself crazy and go overboard making variants. I know, I've done it. Okay, I have just completed a transition from being a diehard phase three, every day, make my variants and just spend an inordinate amount of time on it, to using UltraScan, which doesn't use any of these kind of variants. Now, it's crucial to have this understanding before you even attempt UltraScan. You've got to know why a variant works, how it works, and all of that. But once you've gone beyond that and started using UltraScan without these variants and start, you know, hitting 70-80% of these races, then you can feel a lot more comfortable. I see a lot of furrowed brows out there about, oh, I'll never understand all that. Just get the understanding, and know that in many of these cases, we're talking about really special cases, and you don't need to make these variants all the time for every race.
I'd just like to say, Michael, that in Ontario, in March, April, and May, when track variance was springing wildly, as I'm sure it was in New York, the UltraScan with variance, the readout from the computer without being touched in any way, was by far the most predictive figure that was coming out.
Yeah, and that happens day in, day out, and tracks all over, especially, and that's such a profitable situation, because unless you're making very, very accurate daily variants projected and doing all that kind of stuff, projected to in feet per second pace variance, which takes a tremendous amount of time. If Tom Brohammer were here, he would tell you how much time he spends making those numbers every day. You have a technique called UltraScan with variant that will take care of those situations. Yeah, it may take a few minutes.
I think for one reason you should, like Jim says, go into variance, not so much in handicapping, but to understand what the tracks are doing, what happens to surfaces, what distance switches really mean, how little they mean, how much. But to get oversold on variances is right down the primrose path to the poorhouse. Because I'm
trying to climb Mount Everest because it's there.
You'll get so doggone messed up, nobody will sit there and you look at the race and you don't know what to do. You've got 53 different figures.
In essence, Smith is going to be our resident expert on variance. He's going to do a long thing on it.
I just wanted to say one thing, because I am going to do Tom Brohammer's variance next week. And I plan on spending at least an hour each day, because I know he does that much work. And you project the variance, and they're wonderful to have, and they do give you a great understanding in the race. Most of them are not very big. And as you do it, you'll see that you're not really making a huge change. Most races are one variance, at least the length, and most of the variants are less than that. So it's not that important. But on the other hand, it does give you a tremendous insight into the race. And there is something else I wanted to say. A lot of you were asking me before, how can I get UltraScan? It's better than phase three, isn't it? And you're beginners. If you take UltraScan and try to apply it without understanding phase three and variance and tracks and things like that, you are going to do this. Ask me how I know this. I had UltraScan from the first, and because it was the only thing available from my computer. And I put race after race to it, and I said, this is weird. These numbers didn't make any sense. Nothing made any sense. Because I didn't know what I was doing. Now, the last time I tried UltraScan, which is just a few weeks ago, it works. It's wonderful. So, really, gain that understanding. Get yourself up into the 60s, 63-65% with phase three. Do whatever it takes. If it takes variance, do it. If it doesn't, great. And there for a while. And build a foundation before you go on up to the upper stories. Because UltraScan is an expert's tool. And if you're not an expert, it can really sabotage you. It's a hair trigger.
They give you an English accent like it did our Canadians.
I go along with that a lot, Dick. I did the same thing. I was doing fine with phase three and got around 60, 65 pretty regularly, and UltraScan came out. And the program member who was helping me out a lot said, oh, it's the greatest thing in the world. You've got to get on with this. And so I got onto it. And win percentage went down about 15 points. And I didn't understand what I was doing with it. I have been using UltraScan now for a year and a half or a year, whatever, and finally got successful about 6 months ago. I did all the races that I gave Howard for the manual, but with UltraScan. And he said, now you're going to have a CompuGraph printout for me with all these, aren't you? I went, CompuGraph, phase three. There's wonderful UltraScan. Are you sure this is going to catch all these races? And I went back and I did it. I got all the same horses. Did all the same stuff without a lot of fooling. I did distance adjustments only. It didn't take a whole lot. It's there. It's just there. And whether you use phase three or ultra or OmniScan, which will come out sometime when the clergy get fully involved, predestination of finding out which horse is going to win. I think Jimmy Bradshaw is responsible for making the remark that the UltraScan is an automatic transmission and phase three is the stick shift. And if you learn how to drive and you start off with an automatic transmission and you get stuck out somewhere and you have to drive, or the person you're with gets sick and you have to drive and you're in a stick shift car, well, you can imagine what's going to happen. You're going to need a few clutches between places.
Jimmy said, all right, UltraScan ain't nothing but phase three with an automatic transmission.
I started off with the UltraScan program myself first, and I'm using phase three now. Yes.
Well, we've got a 0.72 parameter that we always talk about, that if a horse that's in that can win the race, he's in there. Do you realize if the feet per second variant or point of variant is like 11, you can have as much off as 7 points almost. See, and still the horse has got a chance to win the race. So, you get two tied up and splitting hairs, you're not going anywhere. All you're going to do is wind up making variants all day. By the time you get done that handicap in the second race, they're running the seventh.
Most important thing for you to know is that if at 8.5 furlongs, the average total energy is 53, and if at 6 furlongs is 52.40, you better doggone well make a 240 minus open adjustment for the sprinter going to a route. That is mandatory. That is not something that you can play with or do or not do. That is utterly essential that you make sprinter out of this.
What are those figures again?
Well, now wait a minute. That's what the figure is from these arbitrary figures. Generally speaking, it's in this area between 240 and 265. What you do is take total energy for 6 furlongs at your track, and you take this by keeping a power generator program, which is that last page in there, which we'll go into so much by tomorrow. If you're confused, it'll be so, you'll wonder why you ever confused. And you just merely subtract the difference from 6 furlongs, 8, 5, or 9, or whatever you're going in. And that's the minus adjustment that the horse going longer gets.
Easy way to look at it is
the
speed rating, the 6 furlong rate is as higher speed rate, you want to subtract from energy to equalize to a longer distance.
Yeah. Always subtract the lower from the higher. It makes for easier subtracting, as it. I didn't know you could do it the other way around until it.
How about a compilation of
each distance? It's like, okay, the answer to that, and this is what gets into people's craws. How long do I have to keep this? 1,000 races? One race. That'll. Hey, the guy says, that's not enough, is it? No, but it's all you got. Use it. Now you got two races in 20 minutes, and then 20 minutes later you got three races. And a profile emerges. But start with day one. If you get a Monday edition, you always have a week. When we go to Vegas, Jimmy will tell you. Jimmy says, how do you do it? I don't give a damn about the energy. I'll figure it out. But if you want to make one of them profiles, here's yesterday's result.
It doesn't take a big sample. If you know what you're doing, once you become accustomed to using the method, it doesn't take a very big sample. We have a small track in California, a little fair deal close to my house. I haven't got to go to the racetrack much since last Thanksgiving, but it's only 4 miles from my house, so I decided to go one night. I was testing a new program. Some of you heard about it, the Contenders Game. I finished in the afternoon, didn't even have a form. I met a friend of mine over there, sat down, I did the first two races. They were both sprints. Did better. My horses won, and I had my profile. And there were three more bettable races in the 10, I guess a couple of them were four horses. Anyway, there were three more bettable races to my way of thinking, sprints, that night. And I used the model from the first two races and hit all three races. So it doesn't take a big sampling if you know what you're doing. Michael has something.
You know, a good example of this is given in the factor analysis manual, where if you don't have, let's say you have a horse from, oh, I don't know, Santa Fe Downs, and you have no Santa Fe Down charts, imagine that. But if you have to, you can make this variant right from the past performances from that track. If you have, let's say it's a 6 furlong race, and you know what your energy number is from the energy of the pace of the race at 6 furlongs at your track, and you have 2 or 3 Santa Fe Downs races. Well, as Howard says, that's all you have. That's all you have. And so you use this formula, either by hand or with a car generator formula, to calculate a makeshift variant right from the past performances. So it's not that you have to keep, you know, hundreds of races on it. You can make it right from there, and very often those are just as accurate as a very long sample.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Tom Grohammer, who's our resident expert on, does more research than anybody on this subject, has found, although he doesn't like it as well as having a longer profile, he finds that when he goes to Omaha, as a good example, or to Laurel, as a good example, he'll take the pace of the race he's going to use for the contestants he's going to use and make his variant from their pace line, just the what he has for that day. I got one horse coming from Aqueduct, I got one coming from Laurel, I got one coming from Santa Anita. Take the pace of the race that they're coming from and adjust them to each other.
Now, in that situation, you're taking the pace of the race, and yet when you're doing a car at your own track, you're taking the wind energy.
Well, we're using, generically, we're using the pace of the race. The little refinements are secondary to the generic process. Take the pace of each horse. You don't want to take wind energy on phase three when you're doing this, because you're trying to find a median and adjusting the others to it.
Can I just, something I mentioned a while ago, but there was a good example of it on the board just before you erased it.
That's the story of my life.
Say a horse going from a sprint into a run, and normally you would subtract, say, around 2 or 2.5, something like that, to adjust for the lower energy level. Now, if he's going into a route at a higher then it seems to me there's a contradiction here, because your power for the higher class of router would be a higher number, and you would less profit, whereas in fact you should be subtracting more because it's going too fast.
No. Not necessarily. Go ahead.
you will have a number of, let's say, the high class horses energies and the lower class horses energies. Okay, the relative difference between a high class sprint and a high class route, that relative difference should be very similar to the difference between a low class sprint and a low class route. So you don't use the difference between the lower class sprint and the higher class route, because you, as you rightly say, you'd get it'd be off. But you use what the difference is between the two categories.
Okay.
Did I lose you there?
Why did you not throw the horse out if he's going to either he qualifies to go into that higher class race as he is, or you throw him out ahead of time. You're not going to put in a low class sprinter and expect him to win a high class route. You disqualify him. That's the secret, which we're going to go into at great length and get rid of the horse.
Yes, but this is part of the problem, because you see that there's definitely, say, allowance of logarithm 2. Say that is the lower level for your high class horses. And the horse is stepping across that boundary. Then you're going to be compared with somewhat different people. There's not a continuity in the numbers.
Well, my own legendary answer to that, now if you want to give us a specific case, you know, if you want to come up here and do us a specific case, it's one thing, but the generic answer is, take what the adjustment is. Now, if you put in a slow horse, this is the problem. If you put in a sprinter who does not belong in that classification of race, and you're giving him the adjustment that he would get if he did belong, you're in trouble. If that sprinter belongs in there, he should get whatever the adjustment is. I know what you're saying. You're saying is
he's not being penalized. He should be penalized because he's going to be suspended for a run.
He will get that.
But if he's going into, what I was saying was, if he's going into a higher category,
right,
with a higher number,
he should get a bigger penalty.
Yeah, but he doesn't. He gets a smaller one.
But he should be eliminated. He shouldn't be put in the first place.
Yeah, but it seems like there's a contradiction in
the situation. Oh, no, there's no contradiction, because you have to. You only put in the contenders. If he's a contender, then he should get the same adjustment that any other viable contender gets. Or the solution to that is, it's in the manual, you give him an additional 20% of the difference penalty per class level, or you want to use the generic 0.15 penalty per class level. But all you're doing there is keeping a horse in who you have just said shouldn't be in the race. He's going too far up in class. But if you determine he belongs there, then he only belongs there with the proper adjustment. You don't want to adjust adjustments to try to compensate for the fact you put in a horse who's too slow for the race.
Yes, right. Just one final thing on that. Would it be better to have just one energy figure as an average and just adjust that rather than having these three separate levels?
Hold on, we don't adjust by the three. I didn't want to give you that impression. We adjust by average. We do not make adjustments, high, low, and average. High, low, and average are to determine the classification of the race. If it's a high-class race, we want all the horses to be within 0.72 total adjusted energy of that. If they're not, we throw them out because they came from a lower level. Now we're talking about adjustments. The adjustments are made to horses who fit the energy category of the race. Now you make the adjustments. But you can't say that I'm going to adjust this horse worse because he doesn't belong in the race. If he doesn't belong in the race, don't put him in the race. That's the secret of Bradshaw's
average. I'd like to just make a few
good
point. Describe the creative ways I thought to lose playing Sacramento Valley. I've been doing it for 4 years now. When I first started doing it, I think it was called phase one, and we gave a class adjustment to every horse. So I just assumed that you rated every horse because I knew next to nothing about handicapping. And your form wasn't good enough for me. It only allowed room for 5 horses. So I designed a new form where you could put in 12 horses. Consequently, I rated every horse, and if he had a good figure, I played him. And I couldn't do more than 55% no matter what I did. It's taken me 4 years. Right. It's taken me 4 years to learn that if I just stuck with that original form, I probably would have won 70%. Because now what I first look to do is throw out as many horses as I can. Because I started doing this with a hand calculator. I didn't know anything about using a computer, and it took me 2 hours to do 2 races.
And I did it every day.
Probably 10 hours a day. And just sticking with it, I saw that basics, and later I can get it down to 5 horses.
But you learned.
I learned the hard way.
So that's why we didn't only put 5 spaces in there because we were trying to be cheap on the paper. We didn't want to put 5 spaces on the concrete grab. We let you put in a whole lot of horses. But when you make your final decision and you're trying to make it on more than 5 horses, you're stroking yourself. You ask any racing secretary. I learned this a long time ago before I got involved in horse racing. I had a patient in Spokane, Washington, who was it was a small track, so he was a publicity man, and he's also one of the stewards. And he said, boy, you know, this is a kill. I'm making a killing out there. He was paying his bill. He said, I'm not paying his bill. Because we know we only got 2 horses out there that are fit, average of 2 horses per race that are fit. This is a smaller track. And that stuck in my mind. And sometimes it would be 3 in the big allowance races. And he was thinking you had to get 1. He still only went about a third of the time because he was betting 1 horse. But if it's that easy, and the racing secretary knows they ought to all be rich. So I asked the racing secretary at Santa Anita. He says, well, we're the highest class track in the country. With apologies to those who play in New York and disagree with that, but roughly. And he says, if we can be assured of 4 fifth horses in a race, that is a high class race. That is that a big
Please turn over.